We're coming to the end of our summer series, the I Am Statements of Jesus. Now, every time Jesus says I am, he's making a statement of who he is. And it makes sense. So every time he goes into an I Am statement, we get, as people, the privilege of getting to know Jesus a little bit better. Right? He comes to us, he says, I am this. And we listen, we hear, go, okay, that's who Jesus is. And that may be what he does. He goes, I am this. You go, okay, that's who Jesus is. That's what he does. I am this. Okay, that's who. And we start getting a bigger picture of who our Lord and who our Savior is through the reading of his word. And so this is the privilege that we have, every single one of us, to spend time on a Sunday morning reading his word. Is we actually, and this is incredible, get to know God. And I was just, as I was thinking through this summer series of the I Am statements, that's what always came back with. We get to know God. And I know, like, growing up within the church for myself, that's kind of a given, right? Yeah, I know. We get to know God. But when you just sit and kind of think about it, you process, when I sit outside at night and I look up and I see all these stars, which represent, like, all these galaxies within the very vast space, I can say, I know the one who's created all of that. When I go out kayaking on the lake and I just take in this beautiful creation and this enjoyment, I can say, I know the God who has created all of this. As I spend time with people, as we come together on a Sunday morning, and say, I know the God who has created these people. And as I was sitting in McDonald's with a couple guys, and I'm talking about how good God is, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, we get to know, and I pointed to a stranger, the God who's created that man over there. Because there's a reality that we live in, that there is a God who has made himself known to us, and we can know him through his word. We know the God who has created each and every one of us, who knows our inmost beings, who knows our thoughts, who knows the motivations of our hearts. And that same God in his statements, and as we go through these statements of I am, we start seeing his character. And this God who has created all things, who's created us, he loves us. The God who's created all these things, he loves us. And one of the ways he shows his love for us is he actually lets us get to know him. Just incredible. And right? It's incredible. You don't always think about it, right? I don't always think about it. I find oftentimes I'm going through my devotions and I'm reading the Word of God because I try and read through the Bible in a year, every year, and it just so easy becomes like, okay, reading His Word, enjoying the time, thank you God for the reading of your Word, and I don't sit back and think, like, the beginning of the chapter of John said the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as I sit there and as I read to think through, I'm listening to God. I'm getting to know God and who He is. It's just an incredible truth. And as we go through these I Am statements, we get to know Him. So without going on any longer, without asking Him to bless our time, let's do that. Dear Lord, just thank you that you, God of the universe, King of kings and Lord of lords, is here with us today. You've given us your word to get to know you, to listen to you, to hear you. And I just pray as we go through your word today, as we speak about the I Am statement of Jesus saying, I am the door, or I am the gate, that we get to see who you are and we get to know you, we get to listen to you. Now, what an immense privilege that is. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for doing a work in our hearts. Help us to remain humble before you. God, just listening, hearing, and following who you are. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So you want to turn to John chapter 10. We were here before. We've been here before for the statement of I am the good shepherd. That's where we find that statement. Pastor Rich did that a few weeks ago. We're going to be looking at his statement, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. But he gives context at the very beginning, the first chapter, the first paragraph there. So I'm just going to read that, and I'm going to kind of unpack what that would have meant for the people who were listening. And he says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. So the Pharisees are sitting there who are listening to Jesus. Now, maybe in your translation doesn't clarify that it's the Pharisees. It talks about the Jews who are listening. But for the people who are listening to Jesus as he's speaking, would understand this physical analogy quite well. Maybe us, not so much, but that's why we kind of look at it from the contextual aspect of what they would have been picturing in this moment when Jesus is talking. A sheep pen was a place where the sheep would go in. It had walls, and there was only one opening, which was the gate, and the gate was what allowed the sheep to come in and go out, and the gate was the only entrance into the sheepfold, which provided safety and shelter and protection for the sheep. The shepherd was the one who was able to come in through the gate that the sheep knew. They knew his voice. When he would talk to them, they would all of his sheep would listen, and they go, "Oh, that's our shepherd. What is the shepherd saying to me? What do I need to do?" And then if the shepherd says, "Come on, we're leaving," all the sheep leave with him. If the shepherd says, "Hey, come on, everyone, all my sheep, come to me because I'm going to sing you a song," they all come to him and he sings them a song, right? If he does whatever he does, the sheep hear his voice. They know who he is because they know their shepherd and they follow him. When I was a kid, now remember, grew up, there was four boys in my family and one girl, and she was the youngest. So oftentimes us four boys would go off and do our thing, our boy things, which in this case, at this family house, we would try and ride the sheep. They had a bunch of sheep in their sheep pen, and we would climb over the fence, and we would chase the sheep and try and ride them. I don't actually remember if I ever was able to get on one of those things, because they're very skittish. They're scared. They're fearful creatures. And they kind of move in a flock together. So you try and separate one from the flock, because you would never be able to kind of get them in the flock. Separate them, corner them, and try and get to the point where you can actually grab them and jump on them and ride them. That's what we would do. Very hard, because they would all run away. They don't know me. They don't know my brothers. They don't recognize us. They all just, boom, gone. Someone else comes who the sheep know, the owner of the sheep, and he calls the sheep. Every single one of the sheep that belong to him would come to where he is. And so this is the picture that Jesus is drawing out, and they're all going, "Yeah, we know that, Jesus, but why are you talking about it?" And he adds in there, too, there's thieves and robbers. There are people who will come in and try and get a hold of the sheep, like my brothers and I, who aren't supposed to be there, who didn't come in through the gate because they're not allowed through the gate, so they've come in some other way, trying to climb over the walls, trying to get in there, unrecognized or unknown to the shepherd of the sheep, and try to abuse the sheep for their own good pleasure. In some way. He says, there's thieves or robbers who do this. And everyone's going, "Okay, like, we get it. Why are you using this figure of speech? Why are you talking like this? What's your point?" Because Jesus, they knew, was a teacher. And they're looking for some kind of teaching, I guess. So they're confused. And then Jesus goes on to start to describe a little bit deeper what he means by this physical analogy and the depths of it. And if you go into verse 7, it says, "Therefore, Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.'" There is a reality of what happens within sheep's lives with their shepherd that has a deeper, more spiritual significance to how we act and how we live and the reality of our lives. So he uses this very tangible analogy to draw out something really deep and profound and to bring a reality to it. Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Jesus has given us a picture of who he is. I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. And he says it again, a second time, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. The question I would have right away, initially, is as you look to the analogy, there's a sheep pen, sheep in the sheep pen, and there's a gate. What is the gate there for? The gate is there to keep the sheep in, protect them, and keep what shouldn't be in the sheepfold out. That's what the gate does. Jesus comes and says, listen, that's me. I'm the one who's coming in, and there's only one way into the sheepfold, and that's me. I'm the one who's standing there. If someone wants to come in, they have to go through me. Now, all the sheep that are in there, they are being protected by me. Because I am the gate. That's who I am. That's what I do. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. But my sheep have not listened to them. Who are these thieves and robbers that Jesus is talking about? Well, we see kind of a picture of it in Ezekiel 34, 1-6. This is the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, O shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. And when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, these leaders, it can be a draw back to these leaders who are coming in and just using the sheep for their own pleasure and own good. When we look at the analogy of what thieves and robbers do from a very tangible, physical sense, these thieves and these robbers, thieves kind of represent this deception. Right, coming in at night, sneaking over the wall, drawing out the sheep, trying to take him in deception. Robbers kind of represent this kind of this force at work. These people who come in by force, using fear, using brutality, to kind of come in and try and steal the sheep. The thieves and the robbers that Jesus is talking about from kind of the more spiritual sense of the reality of what's happening is these people who have come before him, including the Pharisees, but not only the Pharisees, but people who have come before him who have abused the sheep for their own good pleasure. It's kind of the definition that he's giving of thieves and robbers from this kind of reality that we live in this world, where there's people who will just use others for their own selfish gain. And they're in direct contrast to Jesus. Now, just taking from this passage in Ezekiel, where they feed themselves, Jesus feeds the sheep. And we talked about that, where he says, I am the bread of life, right? He's feeding the sheep. Where they do not strengthen the weak, Jesus gives strength to the weak. Where they do not heal the sick, Jesus heals. Where they do not bound up the injured, Jesus cares for the hurt. Where they do not bring back the strays, Jesus brings them back. Where they do not seek the lost, Jesus is willing to leave the 99 to seek out the one who has gone astray. Where they rule with force and hardness, Jesus leads them with love and compassion. The contrast between the one who is functioning as the gate, the protector, the provider, the safety of the sheep to those who would come in and just abuse the sheep for their own good pleasure. And we see that reality within life today, all over the place. And in parallel to even the way that it happened in the Old Testament. As you go through the Old Testament, you see all these leaders who fail as leaders because they only act for selfish gain. They start using the people for their own selfish gain, to make themselves look better, to bring about more fame, more money, whatever it is, to bring about more enjoyment for themselves or pleasure. That's how they treat the people. And then you see those who act more like Christ and selflessly serve the people. And at one point, David makes a statement where he says to God, "It's I who have sinned. Bring about the consequence on me and leave your sheep alone." That's kind of the mentality that Jesus has here. Put it on me. I will care for the sheep. I will protect the sheep. I'm not going to act out of selfishness and just use the sheep for my own gain and abuse them for it like these people were. And he says, "My sheep, those who are my sheep, have not listened to them." And we see this again in parallels to even today in the Old Testament. You see people who were following God's authority over the authority of others. I mean, you look at Moses. He doesn't listen to Pharaoh because his authority is God. You look at Daniel. He doesn't listen to Nebuchadnezzar because his authority is God. You look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, the same thing. They don't listen to the king because their authority is God. People who have placed themselves under the authority of God, they don't listen to the voices of all these others. They recognize that that doesn't sound like God, and they run away from them. And Jesus comes in, and he offers those who don't want to be abused by the thieves and robbers, he offers them protection from them. He says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." See, thieves and robbers, they come in, they try and abuse the sheep for themselves. Jesus, in contrast, he doesn't. Now, to illustrate this point, my mom's got a dog, a little dog. Some of you probably have little dogs, and you think I'm an awful person for using this as an analogy. My mom's got a little dog, and I don't mind the dog. It's not that I don't like the dog. But just to get an understanding of this little dog, when I go home and visit, sometimes the dog will get so scared of me that it pees, or it'll be so excited to see me that it pees, right? And you got to clean it up. It sometimes smells bad. It sometimes yaps at a super high pitch, sometimes growls at other dogs, and it can just kind of grind your gears a little bit. Always begging for food, always at your feet, you're tripping over it. But I don't mind the dog. However, if I was going on a walk with this dog, because I was taking care of it, and I'm walking down the road and it's doing its thing, and a bear comes out of the woods, I'm leaving the dog. Right? I'm running and I'm leaving the dog. I'm not trying to save that dog from a big bear. All right, I believe my life is worth way more than that little dog's life. So I'm going to save my life, and I'm going to leave the dog to be chow, right? My mom, on the other hand, loves that little dog. She adores it. Sometimes talking on the phone with her, I think she's talking to me, but she's actually talking to the dog. That's how much she loves the dog. If she was going on a walk with this dog and a big bear came out and attacked the dog, she may, because of the love she has for this little dog, get up in arms and try and fight off the bear to protect the dog. She may do that. She probably won't win, but she would probably, because she loves the dog. Now, I don't know if she would actually do that. Don't know if she'd actually risk her life for this little thing, but it works really good for the analogy because God is worth infinitely more than every single one of us. Infinitely more. And without him, there would be nothing. He's the one who has created life. He's the one who sustains life. All knowledge belongs to him. All wisdom belongs to him. All power belongs to him. In comparison to God, we would be looked at as worthless. And look at this statement that he makes. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. God's love and care for the sheep is so deep, is so dear, that when it comes to their protection and their safety, he doesn't give the job to anyone else. The God of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, doesn't give the job of protecting what seems like worthless sheep to anyone else. He himself comes down from heaven to stand as the gate to protect the sheep who are in his fold from any sorts of danger that may be coming for them. So much so he's willing to lay down his own life. And as you continue to read through the story of Jesus and the good news of what he has done, we see that he's done that. His care for his sheep has led him to the cross. He would lay down his own life to save, to protect, to care for his own sheep from the dangers of the enemy, who is death. And rising again on the third day, he defeats the enemy and offers life. This is our God. As we read his word, this is what he says to us. This is who he is. And he cares so much. He loves so much. And he's worth infinitely more. He puts himself in this position to protect, even at the expense of his own life. He says, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. There are voices of people, of ideas, of cultures that are calling out to us almost every single day. Or calling out to our loved ones, saying, this is the way. Follow us. Or through deception, like the thief will come up and they'll say things, they'll do things that seems like, oh, that kind of makes sense. I'm going to follow this guy. That's to lure us out. Or like the robber through destructive means, through fear, antagonization, will come and try and take the sheep. But they only come to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus is the only one who has come that we may have life and have it to the full. Jesus is the only voice that we should be listening to when it comes to life. Very truly I tell you, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. We, like sheep, have all gone astray. It says that in Isaiah 53. Each to his own way. And this is Jesus' words to all of us. I am the gate. And whoever enters through me will be saved. We need saving. Every single one of us. And the invitation is to every single one of us. Every single person on the planet. You look at the word whoever in the Greek. Guess what it says? Whoever. You look at it in its context, guess what it says? Whoever. You look at it in any circumstance, guess what it says? Whoever. Jesus' invitation is to everyone. Have you answered the call? Have you RSVP'd to the invitation? Have you come through Jesus into his safety? And this is the act that we call repentance. God has made a way for us to be with him, to be safe with him. He, like the good shepherd does, laid down his life to defeat the enemy who is death so that we may have life. And he freely offers life. He freely says, come and enter in. And we read in, I believe it's Ephesians. Let me find it here. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works that no one can boast. Jesus, through faith in him, gives us entrance into his safety. The act of repentance is, Jesus, I've gone astray. I've walked away from you. I've been a criminal. I've been in rebellion. I have sinned against you. His invitation is, come and enter through me. Say, God, thank you so much. I believe that you provide life. Like it says in John 14:6, I believe that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. That you're the only way to the Father. All of my trust, all of my hope, all of my ambition is placed on you. There is no other way. There is no gate of good works. There is no gate of other gods. There is only one, and his name is Jesus. Have you entered in? Have you turned away from your walking on your own, and have you come in through the gate of Jesus Christ to be called one of his sheep? And what does his sheep do? They listen and follow. That's it. Right, are we listening and following as we get up in the morning, as we go to bed, as we come Sunday morning, as we meditate and we think, we memorize God's word to us? Are we listening to him in it and following the things that he says? Are we saying that there is no other way to eternal life except through Jesus Christ, and I'm going to put my trust and my hope in no other way? There is no other one who cares for me as much as Jesus Christ, so I'm not going to believe the lie that someone cares for me as much as Jesus Christ does. There's no other way of life, so I'm not going to believe anyone else who says that there is another way of life. I am fully devoted to my God, who is Jesus, to follow and live in total dependence of him, entering in through him because I am someone and the invitation is to everyone. And in so doing, the promise is this, that they may have life and have it to the full. And the greatest life we can live, every single one of us, the greatest life that is offered, the only life that is offered, is through Jesus Christ. And is that the life that we're living? We enter through the gate. Put our faith and trust in Jesus as our salvation, as our Savior, so we no longer fear death. We no longer fear these thieves and these robbers. In fact, we're able to spot them out because anyone that doesn't sound like Jesus, we know is not Jesus and we don't follow. Is this the way that we're living? You know, and oftentimes I think through and I start going into the whole, okay, if this is what God has done, then what do I need to do? The do is you enter through faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your old ways, to only listen and follow what he says. That's the do, and enjoy him. Enjoy him. And sometimes all the shepherd would do with his sheep is just sit there and sing to him. And the sheep would just enjoy him. Sometimes all the shepherd would do was just bring him out to good pasture and he would set them down so they could just enjoy it. To know God is our greatest joy. To know God is our life, eternal life. He says this, what is eternal life but that they know God the Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And this is thanks be to God because he has made himself known to us. And he speaks to us. We can listen to him. We can actually get to know him, the creator of the universe, who is the gate, our protector, our salvation, our life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for letting us get to know you. As we read the I Am statement of I Am the Gate, we see you as a God who loves and cares and protects his sheep. So much so that you're willing to lay down your own life for them. You're putting yourself in the position of guard. Anyone that comes and wants to abuse your sheep, you stand against and you oppose. Any enemy that comes against us, you stand against and you oppose and you defeat. There is no one greater than you. And God, you offer us the invitation to enter through you in faith, repenting of our old ways, stepping away from our old life, of following other means that end up in destruction, just to follow you and you alone. And we just thank you for that call. God, we were lost without you. God, we're powerless without you. We're defenseless without you. And we just thank you that you have made a way, and that you're with us, and you care for us, and you love us. It's only a work of you that has done this, and we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.